have an inner critic. I think the key is just to be aware of it.
Hello and welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Molly. And in this podcast, we have inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence as a healer and as a healer in business. When you see my next guest, you would never know that she was a mean girl to herself. And if you need me to spell it out, the mean girl is the inner critic, and we go into depth about it. She reveals her journey to overcome her inner mean girl and how her faith in God is the foundation that everything else in her life is built upon. Her whole being is intent on spreading love, light, and inspiration, and you get to bask in it. Let's listen to all the gold that Angie Doyle brings as the Confident Healer. Welcome to the Confident Healer podcast. This is season one, episode six. I am your host, Sharmila Molly, and today I have another incredible soul who's joining us. She's a certified meditation and mindfulness practitioner, as well as a master certified life purpose coach. She's also co-host of Talks Inspire on YouTube, and she's currently working on completing her debut book, The Power of Godly Thinking. So please, with a big warm hug, let's welcome Angie Doyle.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, thank you so much for reaching out and for being here. I'm extremely excited and honored that you even asked me.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. Thank you for saying yes. So I wanted to ask you about your upcoming book, The Power of Godly Thinking, if you would like to talk about that and what it's about, what inspired you to write a book.
Sure, absolutely. Well, what inspired me to write a book, I'm actually a writer by trade. I've studied writing, you know, when I was in school. So I've written quite a number of things, but this particular book is something, it's very special to me because it was born out of my own self-discovery journey that I am going through and I'm still going through. And throughout my journey, I have always come back to what it is that is most important in my life and what has driven me and what has kind of pushed me when I've been down and when I was negative and when I was hard on myself. And it was always this, the just God. And thinking independently from your circumstances, right? And for me, that is what has helped me throughout my journey. And that is really what has inspired me to start writing the book. And it's a book that's in progress. It's still a process. And I'm still in the gathering information and just the research phase and, you know, praying on it and meditating over it. But you know, I think that it's such an important thing to understand that all that is good and all that is positive comes from God. And I feel that it's the power of positive thinking. It's almost like it comes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't be positive you know, without knowing that God is there within that realm. So that is what inspired me. It's just throughout my life journey. And I think, you know, when we intentionally align ourselves with what His purpose is for us, what His will is for us, then I think things start making sense, you know, and that's kind of what I want to, that that book will come across is that when we align ourselves, then he abides and everything kind of falls into place.
Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people, maybe they don't realize, because I consider myself agnostic, but I don't have a problem saying, you know, God or the universe. And I think for a lot of people, just knowing that there is an infinite source to draw from and calling it God, I think that's an important, I think that's something we all tend to forget. And it's interesting because I was interviewing Omar before last week, and he was saying the same thing. Like, you know, he knows that God has his back. He was saying, the universe has my back. I know that God has my back. And that was the first step of his confidence.
Wow.
And it's something that I sometimes forget that. I have to, since talking to him, I'm like, yeah, I got to remind myself that. That'll be great when your book comes out. I'll have to let
it. I really believe that our circumstances change when we change the way we think.
Yes. Yes.
And when we do, we become a more thankful people.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a more thankful people, you're a more happy people.
Yes.
And, you know, I just think we can rise above to another level, you know, when we're dealing with whatever circumstances that we're dealing with. When you realize that there's a higher power and there's a higher source, and we are the source of all creation, right? And when we realize that, I think our problems or circumstances or concerns, whatever you want to call it, they're on a lower level now, you know? So I think it's a really powerful place to be, you know, in your head,
right?
When you can get to that connection,
right. And I think that can be really challenging, because, you know, you get bogged down by life, you know, bills and kids and relationships,
absolutely,
work, and the person cut you off in line and things like that. But so absolutely. You mentioned, you know, you were talking about some of the things you overcame, but I also, heard of you was through a Facebook group, and you had talked about, overcoming your negative thinking, the inner self-critic. So, I mean, obviously this book is a part of that process, but how did you overcome that? Because that was my problem too. I mean, I still have it, you know, the inner critic does not go away. She softens. And she's sneaky for me, but it takes a lot of practice to overcome that voice, negative voice. So what was part of your process?
This is a fantastic question. I think I still have an inner critic. I think it's maybe not to the degree that it was, and mine just came from just a lack of self-appreciation, self-worth, self-love. That's where I been throughout my journey, and I've, you know, kind of come out of it. But, you know, it's self-awareness, and when that self-talk, you know, comes in, and whoever her name is or its name is, that you acknowledge it. You know, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, mean or bad Angie, she's starting to talk to me, and just being aware of mean Angie that's trying to put me down, that you can say, okay, what is triggering me thinking this way, and kind of almost talking back to it, and saying, no, that's not true. I am worthy. No, that's not true. I am enough. you know, I love myself. You know, I'm a masterpiece. I'm part of a huge masterpiece. Like we all are, you know, we all are part of this great masterpiece that's been created. And I think the key is really to be aware of it. And it's a tough thing and it takes a lot of time. But for me, what helps me is meditation. You know, I do that in the morning, every single morning. And affirmations, you know, telling yourself, even if it's like you don't want to go down the list about, oh, I'm beautiful, I'm enough, I'm worth, just saying one thing, yeah. You know, I awoke this morning, I'm thankful for a new day, and I'm going to rock this day, or I'm going to rock that meeting, or I'm going to, you know, kick butt here, I'm going to, because I can, you know, and because I think we really need to just pump ourselves up and not wait for somebody else to do it. Right. We have to do it for ourselves, right. And not wait for somebody else to tell you you're beautiful.
Right.
You know, you're smart, you're intelligent, you're great. No, you have to tell it to yourself. I have to tell it to myself. You know, but I think it definitely is a process, you know, and it's not always an easy thing,
right?
You know, because it wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. But luckily, you know, like I said, it's I'm starting to come out of it, and I think a lot of it has to do with just my, you know, just the relationship that I find that's most valuable to me, which is my relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I was in my previous episodes, you know, we talk about a couple of them had mentioned, you know, their inner critic and how it's a learned behavior. So that, you know, stems from, you know, something somebody said in your childhood, some from your family. Is that something that was in your family? Or was that just like from some mean boy or girl said something to you in class, or a mean, you know, like a really bad teacher or something?
For me, that's very interesting also, because that's something that, you know, we at Talks Inspire, we talk about that all the time, even behind the scenes. We like just constantly talk about it. It's a topic that, you know, we bring up a lot. But for me, it was, for many years, I was bullied. So I think just the, you know, just the day in and day out of the environment that I was in, I never really fit in anywhere. There was a time when I felt like I didn't really fit in anywhere. And, you know, I was not only made fun of, because I feel that, you know, kids are just kids. Kids right. are mean, and they just right. make fun of people.
We know this now, but then right. as a kid, you
know,
but
you don't know that as a kid. And, you know, I was made fun of, I was threatened. I was, you know, there was like people tried to be physically wow. violent with me. So it was just really tough. And I think I was constantly told that I was ugly. Mm. I was constantly told just really mean things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just believed it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting because you come home and your mom and your dad or whoever's in your house, they're like, no, but you're a wonderful person. Yeah. You know, you're sweet. You're beautiful. You're this. But it's like, we don't want to hear it from them. We want to hear it. We so much want acceptance from our peers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And now it's like, well, I could care less if you know, don't think I'm, you know, worthy of this or worthy of that, because I know I am. But back then as kids, you know, we're thinking, well, our friends, we don't have friends, you know, our friends don't accept us.
Right.
So, you know, for me, that's where it was birthed from. That's where it stemmed from, was just the constant bullying when I was growing up. That's where I think my self-confidence kind of went like nothing. I was never able to build it because, yeah, you know, I was a kid. Right. So I wasn't ever really able to build it until now, you know?
And is that, so you had said that you were a writer and that you had a corporate job, because obviously, you know, in life, you know, we push through a lot of things and there's a lot of, you know, we learn how to build our confidence or build our self-esteem and our self-worth and accomplish certain things, but branching out into entrepreneurhood, you know, that takes, and then doing the things that you're doing, which is not really mainstream, coaching, you know, meditation. I mean, it's meditation, people know the word, but to be a meditation teacher, you know, some people would say like, well, can you make money doing that? You know, to do that as your business, as your livelihood, you know, it takes a certain amount of confidence to be able to carry yourself forward, because you are your business. There's no company, there's no building, you are the face of your business. And so that's why, sure, that's the main reason of doing this show, is to find out from other healers and healing people in the healing industry is how they build their confidence and keep that going when, you know, when it can be really lonely being an entrepreneur. So when did you decide to make the switch and move forward in your business from your job?
Mm-hmm. I think honestly, as you ask me this question, what the first thing that comes to my mind is that I've kind of always known, even as I was in the corporate world, I always knew that I was going to be somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even straight out of college, I got a fantastic job. I was, you know, I was working for the major leagues.
Like Major League Baseball, or you mean like?
Yeah, like Major League Baseball.
Oh, okay.
And it was a fantastic job. I was, you know, I loved it. And then I went on and I went and I worked for another huge company. And even as I was there, I always knew that I didn't feel fulfilled. Mm. And I knew that that was not my purpose. And sometimes it's not about what you know, it's about the timing. Right. And I was able to build a lot of relationships. I was able to, you know, meet fantastic people and great people. I was able to, I feel, develop so many skills that I didn't have. Mm-hmm. And so I just wasn't, you know, I wasn't ready yet.
Right.
The timing wasn't right. Because I was in my 20s when I opened up a video production company. And I remember, you know, my boyfriend at the time, I was like, yes, you know, this is what we're going to do. And I put in so much money into it. I got all these flyers. Back then, that's what it was. It wasn't, you know, social media. We didn't have social media. So, you know, I put together all these flyers and all these business cards and cards and postcards. I was like, this is what I was going to do. And the business flopped. Like, and it wasn't because, it was just because it wasn't the right time. And it was still, you know, okay, that's not what your path is. And I think with patience and with a lot of prayer and looking for guidance, you know, I knew, okay, there's something else for me. It's just not yet. And let me tell you, I would cry about it and I would say, I'm not happy at this job. You know, I can't just be this. I know I want to be more. But now with looking back, it's like, okay, but it just wasn't the right time. And I always knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I always knew that I was going to own my own business. I always knew I was going to venture out on my own. The whole point was I just didn't know when. When was going to be that right exact time? Until now, you know, even, you know, when I moved to North Carolina, a lot of things started, you know, becoming a little bit more clear. And I started, people were coming into my path that I was like, oh, this is, you know, the pieces of the puzzle are starting to fall into place. And so, I mean, I don't know if I'm answering your question, but I always did know that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I think even as a young person, although I'm only doing it now, even as a young person, I knew that that was the path I was going to eventually take. It was just a matter of what that looked like. And I'm starting now to get clarity on that. Mm-hmm. And you know, we also have a real estate investment company. So it's not just the meditation and, you know, just like you said, like, oh, living off of being a meditation teacher. It's not just that, but that is where, that's what I love doing the most, is just connecting with people.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. That's what I'm drawn to. I just, you know, and 20 years ago, you know, maybe that just wasn't the time for me. 20 years ago, I probably still had to connect with myself.
Right.
You know, before I could worry about connecting with others, you know, and mm-hmm. so I think, you know, now is the time that, and you're right about being an entrepreneur, how it's a lonely place, because a lot of people in my family, they, you know, or just people you tell.
Right.
It's like the eye roll. You know? Like, all right, Ange. Okay. But what's your real job?
Right.
What's that 9 to 5?
Right. Because it's outside of the mainstream, you know.
Yep.
Like I was saying. So how did you come into life coaching and becoming a practitioner of meditation mindfulness?
Well, the meditation, believe it or not, came through my partner in crime, Alyssa Pimentel, where she did a lot of meditating, and we held a group meditation one night, and she led it, and it was with a few women from my church, and we sat and we did a group meditation, and I remember afterwards I had a conversation with her, and I said, I need to be doing this. Mm-hmm. I really need to be doing this. And she was like, yeah, you do. You need to be doing it. And from that moment, I said, okay, I have to do this. And that's as simple as that sounds, that's really how it happened. Mm-hmm. Like after the meditation was done, like I just knew, okay, I have to do this. And that's really, it wasn't anything that I was like, oh, I gotta, you know, I was studying this for many years, or it was just like that one night. And then I decided, you know, all right, let me go to school. Let me get certified for this. Let me try to learn more. And then, you know, and I've been meditating ever since. And I love it. I love it. It's really a powerful thing.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And being able to facilitate for others is also really powerful.
Yes. You see, that's where I think, you know, and you say about the life coaching, it's about finding your purpose. And I feel that we all have a purpose. You know, we're not put on this earth just to live and eat, like just to wake up every day and then just like there's more to us. We're all powerful beings, you know, that, and I think you know, some people want to know what that is. And some people just need, some people know what it is inside of them. They just need somebody to kind of guide it, guide them and get it out.
Right, right.
They need, you know, something that they've already know is inside of them. They just need the right questions and the right, you know, something to just get it out.
Right.
And, but yeah, like I said, it's the connecting with people that, you know, I think that that's what drew me to that, to do that and to do the meditation and the whole life purpose and coaching. And it's that connection with people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It yeah. is. Yeah. No, I understand that.
Yeah. I sound a little sappy, but.
Not at all. No, not at all. Sap runs thick here. Don't worry. You're in good company. So that's interesting. So, you know, you're sitting with your partner in crime, Alyssa?
Alyssa, yes.
Alyssa. And she's leading a meditation group. And see, like, it's, you know, I mean, I think that's crucial. You know, I don't want to skip over that because you were listening to yourself. You were listening to that guided intuition
mm-hmm.
and feeling confident in that, like, okay, I need to do this. And then her reflecting back to you, like, she could have said, no, Angie, no, don't. But she knew that this was like, no, you would be really good at this. And mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, that encouragement. So I think there's something to say also about just listening, because that's part of it too, is, you know, listening to that inner voice.
Yes.
The one that speaks above the inner critic, or once you tame that inner critic, that inner voice, that intuition, that divine voice is easier to hear. And I just want to go back into that point, because that takes a lot of confidence to learn something new. Cause that, you know, at this point, cause you know, some people don't have, they're like, oh, I don't have time. I got kids. And you have children as well, right? How many children do you have?
I have two.
Two. So, you know, for you to, you know, say that and follow through with it, that's a whole nother ball game right there.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. I think, like I said earlier, I don't really remember, but where this whole process of self-discovery,
mm-hmm.
It's all part of it. And that night when we were meditating, and then after the meditation, I said, I think I need to do this. That's all part of the self-discovery. It's all part of the journey, and it's all part of the process. Because I believe that, you know, with the talks Inspire and with the meditation, that is, it's still being molded into what it's supposed to be.
Right.
You know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So
it does.
So that was supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That meditation. And then the women that were there and then called me afterwards. There was one woman that called me afterwards and she was like, Angie, that was so helpful for me. Because I'm always running here, running there, and my job, and she works late, and she said, just to take those moments, it really helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear that, I said, oh yes, then I need to continue this, you know, because it helps her. It helps me too.
Right. Yeah.
You know, me helping other people, it's like, I'm helping myself as well. You mm-hmm. know, not just in the satisfaction of just feeling happy for them, but it's like self-therapy for your, you know, for you.
Yeah.
So it's all definitely part of my self-discovery. And I think that's why one of the reasons, you know, even as we put together all the resources and tools that we're putting together for the blog and for the channel, that's why we specifically say, this is inspiration, encouragement, motivation, and guidance for you, but for us as well. You know, it's not that we are these incredible people that have all the answers. No, it's we are discovering the answers as well, and we want to help others discover the answers that they're looking for, or even guide in any way possible that we can.
Yeah. And just just going back to confidence, you know,
yes.
Where does that go?
No, big word, confidence.
Where do you draw that from? To push you forward and to keep that self-discovery going. And
I think it's when you're driven by purpose. Purpose is stronger than any lack of self-confidence that I can have.
Okay. Yes.
So that is where I draw my confidence from. You know, that it's from nothing else. It's just that this is my purpose. I need to run with it. I mean,
boom, there you go. Drop the mic. Yeah. Well, I mean, so it sounds to me, it's that commitment and knowing, having that faith in yourself.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
So you've got your faith in God backing you. You've got the faith in yourself.
Yeah. I think my faith in God and, you know, just, all right, God, this is the route you're taking me. I'm going to do it. And, you know, I think I wanted to step out of myself in order to fulfill my purpose, you know, and which is bigger than me. Mm-hmm. It's bigger than what my little inner critic can say, you know, whatever, Angie, you know, oh, you got a big, whatever it is that the inner critic wants to say about me. My purpose is greater than that, you know, and I need to humble myself under that. I need to put myself under that and say, okay, well, my purpose is helping others, serving others, loving others. That is what my purpose is. So that is bigger than me. Mm-hmm. And that's how I can step out of myself, is by remembering that this is what you need to do. And that's what's priority. That's what's most important.
Yeah, that's been like the through line that I've heard from the other people that I've interviewed so far, which is like so fascinating because it's all very similar. You know, it's a commitment to this deep purpose that you have.
Yes.
And really committing to that and knowing that, like, that it's bigger than you, or it's bigger than that inner critic. It's like, inner critic, check yourself. That's what I hear you saying, you know, like, just check yourself at the door. Like, I don't, you know, you don't matter right now. Like, 'cause this is what's important, and it's positive and it's inspiring and it's uplifting, which is what we're all here to do.
Mm-hmm. And it can be scary.
Yeah.
To step out of yourself.
Thanks for saying that.
You know, that you need to push forward anyway, because we can sit here and say, oh yeah, like I just need to fulfill my purpose and oh, I can just go ahead and do it. Let me tell you something.
Tell me.
Sometimes when I know that I have to film something and I have to, it takes me forever, and I'll break it down forever, like a day or 2 days or 3 days before I say, okay, it's out there. Because I will sit on it and I will sit on it and I will sit on it. And I'll sit on it thinking, you know, well, it wasn't good enough, or let me go back, let me check this. But you know what? I say to myself, you got to punch fear in the face. Punch it in the face. And I heard somebody say, done is better than perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Done is better than perfect. So it's scary, but fear is that monster that will tell you that you can't do it and that you shouldn't do it, or, you know, you're not good enough. You're gonna fail. It's that monster. that we need to punch in the face, you know, because right. fear will paralyze you.
Yeah.
Fear is a liar and it will paralyze you. And if you can just be aware of that, so that when he starts creeping his ugly little head in front of you, that you can say, all right, this is fear. I'm not going to let it stop me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for saying that too, because it's easy to like, okay, I know my purpose. It's also taking the next step, and it just can be little step. Doesn't have to be a big old step jumping off the cliff. It can be. Some people like that. Some people love that adrenaline rush. Everyone's different, but as long as you put
in little steps. Yeah. For me, I'm the little step person. I take little steps.
Me too. Sometimes I leap and sometimes it's a little step. So mm-hmm. It sounds like, you know, you have a very, it doesn't sound like, you have a very strong, you're a woman of faith. Is that something that you were raised with, or did that come later?
My parents have always been very God-fearing. My mom, she grew up Catholic, but then when she came over to this country, she started looking for a church and found one, Christian denomination. Mm-hmm. And she was invited actually by a friend of hers. And so we always went to church on Sunday. I went to Sunday school. You know, then when I became a little adolescent, young person, I was in youth activities. Mm-hmm. I played the piano. I played the organ for church. You know, I then became a Sunday school teacher. I became a choir member. And I must have been, when I came into church, I must have been maybe 7 years old. So I wasn't born in the church. Mm-hmm. We came later, but, you know, we did always do that every Sunday and every Wednesday, you know, there was like a small groups. And so I was always around that environment, mm-hmm. I'll say. I think, so I was always a person that was very aware of my faith, my spirituality. I knew I was there. I knew I had it. I knew how to pray, you know, I knew the importance of prayer. But I think, you know, as I became older, of course, and as an adult, I was able to learn how to practice my faith a little bit more and really understand what it means to have faith. It's to have hope. You know, and to have hope in the Lord. And so I think as a older woman, just experiences of faith, you know, I think that's what's kind of developed. And I love to be a student. Like I just love to learn and so I'm still learning mm-hmm. just on, you know, just by reading the word, you know, reading books, scripture, you know, even through meditation and through things like that, just constantly just learning more about God and about faith and, you know, how to build a relationship with him, how to rely on him, how to secure that, you know, just that connection with him. So I think now is like, as I've developed it more, right. But I have always been in the church environment growing up as a child.
Right. So you've grown and adapted your faith, explored it. It's not something that's, you know, just Christmas, you know, just like certain holidays.
No, we've, you know,
connected to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm part of the same church I have been since I was a little girl, except now it's in a different state because we have churches all over. Mm-hmm. So I'm still part of the same church, you know, church hasn't been open for the past five months or so, but you know, we were going up until the right. the pandemic. But so it is something that I do. My children are part of Sunday school. You know, I like to take them to Sunday school. I just want them also to know the importance. But I am not in a church thinking box, you know, like just because.
It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. Well, there is a such thing as being in a church box, right, where it's like, this is the, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I go to church, but I still love to learn and I still love to discover and kind of figure out what the faith is and what our faith is. So I'm definitely not in, I don't know if I'm explaining that.
No, you're not, you're open-minded. You have an open heart. I grew up in the South, so I understand where that's coming
right
from.
Like
you're not on a pulpit, like barreling down people's throat, like one way.
Trying to preach to people like, okay, because I'm Christian and this is the way it's supposed to be. And no, like the only thing I like to preach is like love. Mm-hmm. Love. Like we all just need to love each other.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's about. It's love.
Despite whatever faith is happening. Despite whatever, you know, that's the other thing too. Yeah. It's fascinating because, you know, you had talked about, you know, being bullied and how that just kind of stripped you of your self-confidence and self-esteem. But then you also had this other side to you where you were leading church groups as a teenager, you know? Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to say is like, you know, like confidence is dynamic. Would you mm-hmm. agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I also think it's in your environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I led like women ministry groups and I felt like I was in my element there and I knew that I was loved and that was just, and I think that's why you excel in certain environments where you don't in others.
Right.
You know, and I think there was just acceptance and love and friendship. And I was always happiest when I was in that type of environment, you know, because I knew like, man, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is where I'm supposed to
right.
be.
Right. That's good. Yeah. That's good because like some people don't have, even the church is not something that they can turn to because of
mm-hmm.
whoever's leading has a certain way of creating a certain type of environment that may
feel like. I find that unfortunate. Yeah, that's very unfortunate.
So it just sounds like even though, you know, you learned to hate yourself, not like yourself so much, you know, eventually you learned, because of your faith, that was like a really strong base to come from.
Absolutely. I think definitely confidence comes from my relationship with God. Like if he loves me, then I mean,
you know. Yeah, that's word. It just goes to show like, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of background you came from, you know, you came from a loving home, you had a loving church environment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you had this other place of school which is where you spend half your time, if mm-hmm. not all your time. And, you know, you've come out years later building that part of you up, spending, you know, the rest of your life kind of patching that up and building that up in order to be the woman you are right now, which mm-hmm. is amazing. So, And I just think that's why, you know, that's why I wanted to interview people, because we all come from like different backgrounds, and that's kind of like why we do the things that we do today and how we can always change it. So it's never too late to change if you want.
Absolutely. It's never too late. Whoever is listening, just do it. Follow your heart, because your heart won't steer you wrong. Follow it. Believe in it. Do it. Yes. And punch yes. fear in the face.
I love that. Punch it right in the face. Is your business with, so, because you said you do Talks Inspire with a couple of other people, do you also work with them? Because that also helps too, you know, even though it's like your own business and you partner with other people, that community, that's the word I was looking, the church community. Community,
right.
Not church, the heat is melting my brain cells, but that's what is also important too, to help build confidence in your business, is having a community of like-minded people.
Especially
other entrepreneurs. So
yes. Well, honestly, it's just the two of us for now. it's kind of hard sometimes to get people to believe in, especially if it's not their dream. You know, you're not going to get other people to buy into your dream a lot of times. So I have Alyssa, and she does a lot of writing with me. Mm. But apart from that, like, she has her own thing going, and then I have my own thing going. So it's not really where we have, you know, a group of people, or we don't have a staff or anything like that. So it's really just right now, the three of us. But in Talks Inspire, we like to interview people as well. And it's vodcast style. And we like to interview people.
Wait, what is that? What?
I said vodcast.
Vodcast? Oh, video on demand.
Video. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and we interview people who are also like you, like, I want to interview you. Okay. I want you to be on our show.
All right.
But we interview people who are doing great things, positive things, who have an encouraging word to share, who have an encouraging story to share. So right now it's really just the two of us, the three of us. And Alyssa does a lot of writing as well, as along with me on the blog. And we're putting together a lot of materials and resources and tools for people. And we're also going to have a 3-day virtual guided meditation event coming up in like 2 weeks.
That's in September
1st. Okay. September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, we'll be doing a 3-day live meditation.
Are you going to do another one? Because this probably won't air until after the first.
Oh, yes, we'd like to. This one will be just and this is like a beginner's meditation. Okay. We would like to do another one.
Okay, good.
Yeah, definitely.
This will come. This will not air in a couple of weeks. This will air probably towards this is the sixth one. So I want to release them once a week. So it'll probably be, I don't know. That's end of September. But would that be something that would be available to purchase? So you're going to record it, or is it just going to be live?
It's going to be live. It'll be recorded. It's free. It will probably be available on our website.
Oh, okay, perfect.
And on our YouTube, on our YouTube as well. But it will be live. It'll be live.
So you won't miss it. Even though it'll be live, it'll be recorded, so you can go back and watch it, because this will not be airing until this episode of this podcast won't be until later.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the next one will be the end of September, and then after that we'll do one in October. And each one, we're thinking it's going to be a different theme, you know. So, you know, the next time it'll be gratitude, mm-hmm. after that, affirmation. So therefore, you know, so forth and so on.
And for like, for affirmations, you know, I mean, that's not the only tool to help, you know, build your self-esteem and confidence, but what kind of affirmations, I mean, is it something you say to yourself every day in your morning meditation, or do you have it? Like, I like to put mine on my bathroom mirror. Is it something that you, is there a different thing you tell yourself every day to build confidence, or with,
you know, this might sound strange, but honestly, yeah. My affirmations are gratitude.
Mm.
So, for instance, this morning I, you know, woke up really early and I sat out on my patio, and it's really early when I do this. So all I hear are the birds and just like this incredible silence, because nobody's out yet. There's nothing happening. It's just like, and you just sit there and you kind of allow yourself to just be in that moment. And you breathe in and you breathe out. And that is my affirmation, to sit there and say, wow, thank you for this air. Yeah. Thank you for that little bird that I just heard chirping.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that breeze right now that's hitting my face. Thank you that I even woke up.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you that I am aware. Thank you that I'm self-aware. Thank you that I know who you are. And all of that for me is my affirmation. That's what helps me. That's what helps build my confidence, is kind of that thankfulness, that gratitude, just, you know, everything. Thank you for just the smallest things. Thank you for my senses.
Yes.
You know, just things that we don't even, sometimes we just take for granted.
Exactly. I'm just remembering a conversation I had years ago with a friend, and we were driving somewhere, and she was, you know, heartbroken, and you know, we were talking, and I said, you know, because it's, for some people it just doesn't occur to them that you can be grateful and also forgive the smallest things. It doesn't have to be a big thing. And for her, you know, it was, you know, just kind of moving through her heartbreak so that she could be able to find someone else again. And I was like, you know, it just, she's like, you know, any tips? I was like, well, it just really starts with forgiveness, really, forgiveness and gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can't feel that gratitude for that relationship that you got burned in right then and there, but you can start to forgive some part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you know, like forgive yourself for not even knowing that you could forgive yourself, mm-hmm. and be grateful that you know that you can forgive yourself. So yeah. Hearing your, it sounds like you're just being present,
mm-hmm.
and finding all the things that you have around you, all the things that you have in you, finding gratitude for that, because it's just, you know, I think for a lot of people, it seems like, oh, well, you know, they have to earn to be grateful for something. It's like, no, you can be grateful for it right now. You don't have to earn it. So that was just such a beautiful message that you shared, you know, something very intimate. And I really appreciate that. And I think a lot of other people will appreciate that too, because it's just like, yeah, breathing, you know, being grateful for breathing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
For having
things that we take for granted. And, you know, being grateful for forgiveness is a big thing. Mm-hmm. You know, she may not know what that relationship was for now, or that heartbreak, but she will eventually.
Right.
And it'll be something that she will be thankful for.
Yeah.
And forgiveness doesn't mean that we forget, or, you know, someone can betray me or do something to me, and I could say, yes, you know, I forgive you. It doesn't mean I'm going to be with you again. Like,
right.
It doesn't mean I'm going to necessarily trust you again. That's not forgiveness.
Right.
And forgiveness is not for the person.
Right.
And I was just having conversation about this exact topic, mm-hmm. about forgiveness. We were just having this a few hours ago before the meeting, before our meeting. Mm-hmm. And forgiveness is not for the person.
Right.
Because sometimes the person doesn't even realize what they did.
Right.
And if you sit and you wait for them to come to you and say, hey, I'm sorry for what I did. Yeah. You're going to be waiting sometimes. You're going to be waiting for a long time.
Right. Right.
Forgiveness is for you, for yourself. Because as soon as you forgive that person, the most incredible weight is lifted off of you.
Right.
And now you have peace. So forgiveness, yeah. is for yourself.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I think just sharing your meditation practice, mm-hmm. that it's sometimes it can be so simple, and the simple smallest things make the biggest impact. And that's why I just was like, oh, that's wonderful. I'm so glad you're saying that. You know, I'm so grateful that you said that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's, you know, I mean, some of this, you know, I teach Reiki, and, you know, some students come to me and they talk about, you know, there's like blocks that, you know, just there's kind of stumbling on, and it's always just the smallest little act that makes the biggest, that can have the biggest impact. And then just practicing that, oh, you know, and it doesn't even take that much time. Like, it could be over a couple days. You're just like saying one thing you're grateful for, you know,
right.
a day. Yep. And then you kind of, it kind of lifts something off of you.
You, yes. know,
you become lighter, and, mm-hmm. and then you start to see the little beauty in things. So I think that's...
Absolutely. Yes, definitely.
That's a beautiful way to meditate, you know, because some people just think like, you know, it's like there's this mystery. I'm like, well, I can't still my mind, and not everyone can sit and meditate. And, mm-hmm. you know, so, you know, every, you know, meditation is just a just focusing on something. You know, you can be, there's like,
yeah.
not Han.
Yeah. Meditation is an altered state of awareness. That's what it is. And meditation can be for everyone. And people do feel that, oh, meditation is just either a waste of time, or I'm sitting and I'm doing nothing.
Right.
But you're actually not. You know, that's actually not true at all. You're bringing your mind to an altered state, and you're focusing, and you know, because we're trained that we think that we constantly have to be doing something, right? Yeah. Like, that's how I was. Like, I got to be doing laundry. I got to wash dishes. I got to cook. I got to clean. I got to, you know, whatever the case is, you got to meditate too. You got to take some time to just sit and just be and clear your mind and, you know, just focus on you. You know, during that time, and it's mm-hmm. not you're doing nothing. You're actually, you're helping yourself immensely,
you know,
by doing that.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're saying that in particular, because you have a family. So how old are your kids?
My kids, one just turned 4, and one, oh. the other one just turned 7.
Wow, so they're little.
Yeah, they're little.
So you have, you know, of course, you know, you were inspired, and you took a class to become to facilitate meditation,
mm-hmm.
and you've created a practice for yourself. So for you, it's getting up really early. Cause I think that's what a lot of, parents, I was going to say mothers, but no, parents, cause there's fathers too. I don't have time. So like, how did you decide to make time for yourself?
Well, I wake up at 5 a.m. every day. Every day. And I was telling someone that the other day, and she was like, I'm never waking up. You're not going to find me waking up at 5 a.m. But honestly, I thought it's the best time for me. It's just, for me, it's the best time.
Right.
And I get up at 5 a.m. and by the time I'm out of the shower and dressed, you know, it's about 5:30. So at 5:30, I go downstairs, I go out to the patio, and I sit outside, like I said, and I hear the birds, and there's nobody out. And I meditate for a while, and then I pray. I read also, but I decided to take that time and see how it worked out for me, just to see. Because it could be that I'll wake up at 5 and then maybe I won't be able to wake up at 5 anymore. Like maybe it's too early. So I just wanted to try it out. And honestly, now my body just automatically wakes up at 5. I'm so used to it now. And then on the weekend, I just sleep in. You know, I just allow myself to sleep in. Nice. But I do wake up at that time because that's that moment that I know nobody's awake yet.
Right.
It's my quiet time because usually the kids are up by 7:30, you know, by 7:30 people already start.
Right.
And, but that's what I do. I wake up at that time. I meditate, I pray, and I read it, and it's wonderful. It feels great. And then, I study. I do a lot of studying, like online. I do research, you know, whatever time I have left before everybody's waking up. If I have some time, I'll sit, I'll do research, I'll check emails, and, you know, and then by 9 o'clock, I'm like, hey, you know, I was able to accomplish, you know, these couple of things.
Right.
You know, sometimes by like 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, I'm crashing, but no, I'm kidding. But that's what I do. That's because of the kids, I decided, let me figure out what's going to work for me, what's best for me.
Right, right.
And it is work because I like the morning time. I like getting things done in the morning.
Yeah, I think, yeah, thank you for explaining that because I think, well, I know. I mean, a lot of parents, their lives are hectic, especially, you know, a 4 and a 7-year-old. And then it's a pandemic, so they're home all the time. You know, it's everything's just kind of turned up on its head right now. And
yeah,
it's just, you know, it's just so important to find that self-care, that it's not the egotistical selfishness that we think of. It's a positive selfishness to be able to give yourself that time to fuel up so that you can
tackle the day.
Yes.
Tackle the day. Absolutely. And before I was doing all this, you know, I would lose my patience very easily, very quickly, especially during this homeschooling. It has not been easy, but you know, now with kind of puts things into perspective. It's like, it's a mind shift.
Yeah. Yes.
Shifting your thinking. You know, and then when you shift your thinking, like we said earlier, everything changes. It just changes.
It does. It does. It absolutely does. All right. Well, I think we'll put a button on it there. Do you have any parting words for other healerpreneurs, as we call them?
Well,
confident parting words.
just that, thank you so much for what you're doing. You know, it's fantastic that you are creating this platform for people.
Thank you.
So it's a beautiful thing that you're doing. And for all of you healers, and, you know, you keep shining your unique light. That's what we got to keep doing. We all have a light and we just keep shining it. And that's really all I have to say about that. And I'm really thankful for you, and I'm thankful that, you know, we connected.
Yeah, me too. I'm grateful. I'm grateful you said yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think you're doing a great thing, and
thank you.
We would love to have you on Talks Inspired. Well,
I would love to.
I want to interview you.
Okay.
I want to know your fabulous story.
Let's set it up.
Okay.
All right, Angie. Well, thank you, Angie. So you can find Angie 4 different ways. You can find her on her website, and this will all be in the show notes. angiesforum.com, and it's A-N-G-I-E-S forum.com. And you can email her at angiesforum@gmail.com. She's on Instagram at Talks Inspire. T as in Tom, A-L-K-S as in Sam, Inspire. And Facebook is it's a group page. It's a private group.
We have a regular page, we have a Talks Inspire page, and then we have the Facebook group, which is also Talks Inspire Initiating Positive Conversations.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being here today and taking some time out of your very busy day.
Thank you. It was really great speaking with you and fantastic questions. Thank you for inspiring me. You did. Now, I'm thinking, okay, these are good questions. We have to ask some of these questions also.
My pleasure. And thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Want to know more about how to contact my guest? Then go to theconfidenthealer.net. This is also the best place to listen to the podcast. And while you're there, click subscribe to rate the show. Let's get those algorithms working to get this podcast to the masses. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.